Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our hope to move beyond talking about the Christian life to living more like the Christ that is described in the Bible. This Bible, the book that talks about Genesis, it starts off with a creation account, and even Christians are divided over what is the age of the earth and how do we really know? Well, there have been some very fascinating new pieces of information that have come out in the last decade or two, growing mounting evidence that connected with dinosaur bones and the relics of these ancient behemoths, There are bits of blood and soft tissue, connective tissue that have been found, evidence, some say, of a very young earth, an earth made according to what some say is exactly what the Bible describes. But is that really what is the story being told in these old bones of the ancient beasts that once roamed the earth? We have with us a guest, Raz Fana. Dr. Raz Fana is Vice President of Research and Apologetics at Reasons to Believe. We've had him on before. He's a biochemist, and we've talked about the amazing story of the cell, for example, in the human body, all that it has to tell us. But now we're going to look at this strange evidence in the earth. And actually, Raz has a book that's come out just recently called Dinosaur Blood and the Age of the Earth. Raz, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You know, when I think about finding blood on a sidewalk, I think this is evidence of a recent crime, you know? And the last thing I think about is it pointing to maybe the earth being really old. So you've authored this book because, as a biochemist, you understand these things. And I don't think we're all going to understand everything you have to say today, but this is really important. And I think the importance, Raz, goes beyond, you know, is the earth young or old? It's how do we talk about science to help people believe in the Christ of the Bible. So let's begin. How did you find yourself interested in this whole topic?
Well, you know, I work for a ministry called Reasons to Believe, and we take an old earth creationist perspective. We are creationists. We're skeptical about aspects of the evolutionary paradigm, but we also think that the scientific dates for the age of the earth and the age of the universe are reliable. As we approach Genesis 1, we would argue that the days in Genesis 1 should be interpreted as periods of time, not 24 hours or a calendar day. And we would argue that that this is a literal reading of Genesis 1 because the Hebrew word that's translated as day, yom, can literally mean a period of time. And of course, when one adopts that particular perspective, you can become immersed in a controversy within the church about the age of the earth, and how do we properly read and understand the days found in Genesis 1. And I've actually tried to shy away from that controversy, to be honest with you, because I think it's an important question, but it's so vitriolic in terms of the interaction that Christians can have sometimes on this issue that I find it tedious. I'd rather spend my time actually looking at how scientific evidence points to a creator's existence and demonstrates the reliability of Scripture. But as you were mentioning, paleontologists have made some remarkable discoveries in the last decade where they're finding soft tissue remnants associated with dinosaurs as well as with other fossilized specimens, and this shouldn't be the case. This is a paradigm buster for paleontology because nobody thought soft tissues would survive for much more than a few thousand years. And so young earth creationists have looked at these discoveries and have argued this is a really good reason to question the scientific dates for these fossils and the methods that are used consequently to date the age of the earth, and argue that this is powerful evidence that the earth must be indeed young and that these fossilized specimens are only thousands of years old. And I find that argument to have some thrust to it, that it's compelling at some level. And so I became interested in the question, is this really a powerful argument for a young earth, or can we understand these discoveries from an older perspective? And so that's partly why I wrote the book. But the goal here is to say that if this is not a good argument for a young earth, then we want to be very cautious as Christians about using that argument because we may inadvertently turn people away from the gospel as opposed to turning them towards the gospel. Because if we present arguments with the best of intentions that are scientifically unsound, that really compromises the Christian faith. And so that was the ultimate motivation for the book. And as I got into the topic, I just found the science behind it absolutely fascinating and enthralling. And so I really enjoyed writing the book because the science was so fascinating.
So what you're saying is that from your perspective, and I'll be honest from mine also, I think, first of all, the age of the earth is not the big question. It's who made it. And when we get back to those early days of the primordial forming of the universe and of our own world, time, the measurements, the things we see now based on how we look at it today going back then, certainly we don't expect to have all of the answers. But then, Roz, when you find in dinosaur bones, when you find evidence of, like, hey, there's still some blood, there's soft tissue, there, you know, I can see why people would jump on a bandwagon and say, okay, this stuff is not as old as people claim. So how did it all start? Who uncovered this idea that there was connective tissue and so forth mixed in with the dinosaur remains?
Well, it was a scientist by the name of Mary Schweitzer, who's a paleontologist now at NC State. But she was a graduate student of Jack Horner, and people may have actually heard of Jack Horner. He's a fairly well-known paleontologist that studies T-Rex specimens uncovered in Montana. And he was actually the paleontologist that was used to model for Jurassic Park, for the paleontologist in Jurassic Park. But anyway, Mary Schweitzer, as a graduate student, stumbled upon what she thought to be red blood cell remnants in a T-Rex specimen, and nobody really could believe it at the time, and so Jack Horner challenged her to prove that these weren't red blood cells. And try as she might, she wasn't able to do that, but the evidence kept mounting that indicated these looked like they were the leftover remnants of red blood cells. And in 2004, she actually recovered from the T-Rex femur what looked to be the remnants of actually blood vessels. And inside those blood vessels looked like the remnants of red blood cells. And in fact, she had a hard time getting anybody to believe that she actually had made this discovery, because paleontologists, again, were absolutely committed to the idea that soft tissue remnants shouldn't have survived. Well, she has done a marvelous job of showing the authenticity of the finds, and in fact has inspired other paleontologists to look at other fossilized organisms and uncover soft tissue remnants in those organisms as well. And so we really are looking at a shift in the way people think about preservation, where we are recognizing that soft tissues actually can survive. And of course, this is exciting for scientists because it gives us another window into the organisms that existed in the Earth's past. But it raises, again, questions that I think young Earth creationists have some legitimacy in attaching to and asking, is this really evidence that these specimens are actually young and not old? And so I explore that question in dinosaur blood by first evaluating whether or not radiometric dating methods are sound and then trying to come up with explanations for why soft tissues could survive for millions of years.
So in your estimation as a biochemist, this is actually possible, tens of millions of years, and you still find remains of soft tissue?
Yes, I do actually think it's possible. And the first point that needs to be made is that while organic materials are rather delicate and can break down, there are some organic materials that are actually rather durable and robust materials. And the types of materials that are actually being recovered from these remains are materials that are heavily cross-linked, meaning that they are long fibrous materials where there's many points of contact along the length of the fiber, and that actually helps to stabilize those materials. Or they have a property called aromaticity, and those tend to be molecules that are aromatic, tend to be extremely stable materials. In fact, they're some of the most stable materials that we know of in the universe, even though they are organic in nature. And so the things we're discovering to some degree make sense. But for example, scientists have actually discovered chitin, which is the material used to form exoskeletons in insects, have discovered chitin associated with sponges that are almost 500 million years old. And this is, again, remarkable, but chitin is such a durable, strong material that there are engineers that are trying to produce these extreme bioplastics, modeling them after chitin, that can withstand very high temperatures and very high pressures. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's not that unreasonable to think that maybe these finds are actually authentic.
Wow. So people hearing this will immediately jump into this whole area of thinking Jurassic Park. If you're getting soft tissues, you're finding evidence of actual cells, and you're able to see these connecting fibers, what about DNA? What about creating dinosaurs in our day?
Yeah. Well, one thing that's important to keep in mind is that when you read what paleontologists write, they talk about red blood cells and blood vessels and things like that, and collagen and other proteins. But this is really a shorthand notation for materials that were that are derived from red blood cells and from blood vessels and things like that. And so they're not finding the actual materials completely intact, but rather remnants that have undergone chemical transformation over time. Mary Schweitzer believes, interestingly enough, that she may have found small fragments of DNA associated with these dinosaur remains. I'm a little bit skeptical about that, but that's rather intriguing. But even if we can recover these materials, it's a long way from actually genetically engineering a T-Rex specimen. And so even if we could somehow sequence the entire genome of a T-Rex, for example, taking that information and now converting it into an organism would be such an involved process with so many technical hurdles that we never really are going to see a Jurassic Park actually happening.
Well, I hope we didn't disappoint our listeners, but tell them about the Chickenosaurus.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting idea. Jack Horner, who I mentioned earlier, is obsessed with the idea of trying to resurrect dinosaurs. And from an evolutionary perspective, and by the way, I reject the evolutionary paradigm, but from an evolutionary perspective, people believe that birds are connected or related to dinosaurs, that, in fact, birds evolved from dinosaurs. And there's some biologists now that would actually classify birds as avian dinosaurs, whereas the dinosaurs that we see in the fossil record would be referred to as non-avian dinosaurs. So in light of that, Jack Horner thinks that maybe you could genetically engineer a chicken in such a way to modify its development so that it actually will form a dinosaur-like creature that he's dubbed the Chickenosaurus. And again, I don't know how close Jack Horner or any scientist is to doing something like that. And again, I think there's going to be a lot of technical hurdles. And of course, I think there's a lot of ethical questions that arise when you consider that kind of work as well. But there's a fascination that people have with somehow trying to resurrect these ancient organisms, these ancient creatures, kind of like a Jurassic Park, if you will.
So the very existence of dinosaurs, no one can debate. I have a brother-in-law who's an amateur paleontologist, and we have in our house some pretty mighty dinosaur footprints on track. You know, I mean, he's taken us to see these things. And what does this say about the age of the Earth? Is it possible the Earth could be young given the evidence for all the kinds of dinosaurs and things they're tied into in the ground that we find as remains?
I, from a scientific perspective, have a very difficult time thinking that the Earth could be young. I'm convinced that the methods that we use to date the fossils, radiometric dating, are extremely reliable methods, and that the results that we get from those techniques are really telling us that the Earth is billions of years old. In fact, that life has been present on the Earth for billions of years as well. And so given, again, how reliable radiometric dating is and the fact that we can come up with chemical explanations for why these soft tissue remnants could survive, I just have a hard time scientifically thinking that the Earth is anything other than, you know, again, 4.5 billion years in age. But, you know, when you go to Genesis 1 and recognize that day could literally be a period of time, then you really have no issue of conflict between the Genesis 1 account and the scientific record. In fact, I didn't come to faith in Christ until I was a graduate student. I was 23 years old. And as an undergraduate student studying chemistry and biology, I was an agnostic. And I grew up in West Virginia, and I was at school at West Virginia State College. And this is part of the Bible Belt. And I had a friend who was a biology major, and his father was a Baptist pastor, and my friend David was a young earth creationist. And even though I wasn't a Christian, I never even had read the Bible, we ended up into conversations about Genesis 1. And I can even remember as a non-Christian asking him, why couldn't day be a period of time? And one of the things that struck me, even as a non-Christian, is that when you think of day as a period of time, the sequence of events that you see in Genesis 1 correspond in a remarkable way with the history of the earth and the history of life on earth. And that was something that even as a non-Christian, I was taken aback by. And later when I did become a Christian and I went back and I reread Genesis 1, I recognized that there was no incompatibility whatsoever between Genesis 1 and the age of the earth or the history of the earth or the history of life on earth. And I think that that reflects the fact that this is a book that was divinely inspired by the creator of the universe.
So the real thing we want to unpack here, I think, for our listeners is how to talk to a world, many of them scientific. We live in a scientific age. We live in an age of discovery that goes back not just to the Renaissance, but to the ancient Greeks. Human beings like to uncover the earth and find what's there and do experiments to try to figure out how to move forward from the past. And in our wealth of study of science, I think it's accurate to say, and one can debate the age of the earth, but there are multiple scientific disciplines that all point to a very old earth. And if it's young, it must be that God made it look old. Do you have a problem with that notion that God would make something look very old, but actually it's not?
I mean, in principle, it's possible, but it doesn't seem to be compatible and consistent with the character of God, because God has told us, the words of Scripture, that he has revealed himself to us through the record of nature, that the record of nature is a trustworthy revelation of God and his character and his qualities. And if we study the world around us and we discover that the earth is old, but it really is made to be, sorry, that it looks like the earth is old, that it's actually young, but it's made to look old, that makes God deceptive, doesn't it? It makes God seem to be untrustworthy. And, you know, I find that very difficult, again, to reconcile with the character and the nature of God. And I think when we make discoveries that seem to challenge our interpretation or our reading of, let's say, Genesis 1 or some other passage of Scripture, we have to have the humility to ask ourselves, we made a mistake as interpreting Scripture. But I'll also say this, too, that as Christians, we want to take science very seriously. We want to be very thoughtful about what science is presenting to us as we, again, look to integrate that with our Christian faith. But it also means that we have to have the courage at times to maybe challenge the scientific paradigm, particularly if we feel that that paradigm really undermines key ideas that are part of the Christian faith. So in some respects, I'm very sympathetic to young earth creationists, because if you've come to the conviction that the earth indeed is young from Scripture, then you're going to have to wrestle with, you know, the scientific dates for the age of the earth and the age of the universe in such a way that maybe you question what science has done. But when I evaluate the challenges that young earth creationists bring to bear with regard to the measurements for the age of the earth, I just don't find them compelling, though I appreciate what they're trying to do. But then on the other hand, to some degree, old earth creationists are like young earth creationists in that we are skeptical of the evolutionary paradigm, which is the mainstream idea in biology for the origin of life and the history of life. And I just find ideas in evolutionary biology incompatible with the biblical account. And so on that basis, I'm willing to challenge evolutionary theory. But one of the things I find comforting is that there are people who are not Christians who likewise are skeptical about aspects of the evolutionary paradigm. You can find evolutionary biologists themselves who wonder if the theory of evolution is adequate to explain the history of life on Earth, particularly with regard to key transitions in the history of life on Earth. Whereas, on the other hand, I can't find anybody other than a young Earth creationist who thinks that the scientific evidence indicates anything other than the Earth is billions of years old.
I want to jump topic a little bit. As we look at everything put before us, as you said, Paul said in Romans, it's the nature points us to the Creator. And so not only do we have, if we get beyond the age of the earth, all this evidence around us of a God who created fitting with the biblical model, but the idea of the Big Bang Theory, it really fits also, doesn't it, with the idea of a Creator. Is that still in vogue? I know some are challenging that theory, but it's still the mainstream understanding, isn't it?
Yes, it very much is. Most astronomers would agree that the universe does indeed appear to have a beginning. You know, there are some attempts to try to explain how that beginning can come about apart from the work of a transcendent creator. And so you have ideas like the multiverse theory and things like that. But at this point, those ideas, while they are being speculated by astronomers, they haven't been established as being credible ideas, at least to my knowledge. But it does indeed look like the universe has a beginning. And of course, this is good news because the very first verse of Scripture, Genesis 1:1, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so I see Big Bang cosmology as the greatest ally to the Christian faith. Hmm. Now, it's interesting, many Christians equate the Big Bang with atheism, which I've always found to be odd. And yes, I think what they are tapping into is this idea that it looks as if scientists are saying the universe came out of nothing. And that's really not a fair representation of the Big Bang. All the Big Bang is saying is that the universe had a beginning. And if you are an atheist, you'd have to say that that beginning came out of nothing. But there's no scientific evidence for that. And again, it's not part of Big Bang cosmology. And the fact that the universe, again, had a beginning suggests that whatever brought the universe into existence is a transcendent creator that is powerful enough to bring the universe as massive as it is into existence. And it fits so beautifully with Scripture.
So I think I brought that up to make a point, and I want you to react to this because you live in this world. The idea being, instead of, as Christians, if we're young earth or old earth, but instead of, especially if you're young earth in your viewpoint, don't make that the main point of your argument with the world, and especially with a scientist. Pick another area, like the way everything had a beginning, according to science. And the Bible's very clear that it did have a beginning through a creator. Let's pick other areas that help people be drawn to the Savior instead of pushing them away. Because if you make an argument around it being a young earth, scientists in large will close their minds. They'll say, these guys are speaking nonsense. They haven't studied what's actually out there. How wise, then, to go around that into these other areas? Do you agree with that?
I actually do very much agree with that, is that even if somebody reaches the conviction that the earth is young, you just need to recognize that for many people, that claim in and of itself will stop them from listening to you. Mm. And so it's important to recognize that there are evidences that both a young earth and an old earth creationist could marshal that would point to the idea that there looks like there is a creator that brought the universe into existence, or it looks as if Scripture is indeed reliable. And that's what we should focus on. And we also need to be aware that, again, there's other models or other perspectives. And so if somebody has an issue with the age of the earth, I would, you know, even if I was a young earth creationist, I would say there are Christians who are old earth creationists who don't see that to be a problem whatsoever. Because, again, we don't want to put stumbling blocks in the way of people who are seriously entertaining the gospel. The only stumbling block we want to put in their place is actually the cross itself.
Okay, so I'm going to have you, as we close out here, give a short word to two groups of people. One group is those listening right now who say, Dr. Rana, this sounds pretty good, but not real credible. I think, you know, the Bible says there's young earth, and you're just fudging things. I don't think you really believe the earth could be old or that the Bible supports that model. If it did, I might open my eyes to read the book. How do you respond?
Well, you know, as I've interpreted Scripture, I am increasingly of the opinion that the Bible really is teaching that the earth indeed is old, that days are periods of time. And there's a number of reasons, but it basically involves what other creation passages and creation accounts say. And if you look at the earth as being young and day as being 24 hours in Genesis 1, you create incompatibilities between the Genesis 1 account and, let's say, Psalm 104, or even Genesis 2. And so from that standpoint, I think to have Scripture be consistent in terms of what it teaches, you have to adopt the view that the days are not calendar days, but something other and calendar days, and I think periods of time make the most sense.
Okay, and the second group of people, these are those who are Christians, and they've got friends, and they want just a practical word of advice you can give them. The person listening now maybe can say, I'm not a scientist. I know a little bit, maybe enough to get in trouble. I want to witness to my friend, my neighbor, who has a background in science. They apply it in their job, and I don't know where to begin. What should I do?
Well, you know, I think that it's important to, number one, understand the concepts behind some of the scientific arguments for God's existence. So, for example, Big Bang cosmology can be overwhelming to the uninitiated, but on the other hand, if you just understand the principle, that is, that this is teaching us that there's a beginning to the universe, and if there's a beginning, there must be a beginner, and that's consistent with Genesis 1:1. So if you can understand at least the concepts and are able to communicate the concepts, I think you might get rather far in the conversation. And then if you just know of places that you can point people to, or you have resources that you can give to those people, that can go a long way towards building a relationship and building a dialogue that will introduce them to the credibility of the Christian faith.
I'd like to recommend the first book I read on the age of the earth that helped me out. Christianity in the Age of the Earth is a title by Davis A. Young. Is there a particular book you might recommend to our listeners around some of these topics?
An excellent book, in my opinion, is a book called A Matter of Days,
yes,
written by my friend and colleague, Dr. Hugh Ross, who's the founder and the president of Reasons to Believe. That's an excellent book, I think, that makes a case for an old earth perspective.
And again, to our listeners, if you're a believer in the Bible and you hold to the young earth perspective, that's okay. We're not saying you need to change your viewpoint, but please understand there's credibility to both sides of this, and we need to push beyond because people need the Lord. Dr. Rez Alfano, thank you so much for your ministry, for your work, and for being with us today.
Thanks, Bill, for having me. It's really an honor and a privilege to be with you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.